Mic's on. Good evening. I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the Genoa Township Board of Trustees regular trustee meeting. Today is May 5th, 2022, and the time is 6:30 p.m. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at www.genoatwp.com. At roll call.
Mr. Antonetz.
Here.
Ms. Goodman.
Here.
Ms. Bond.
Here. Also present are fiscal officer Pat Myers, Rush Chabali, Deputy Police Chief Corey Flagg, Deputy Director of Roads and Bridges, Battalion Chief Corey Weekly, Police Chief Steve Gamble, Director of Human Resources Linda Greco, Director of Roads and Bridges, Director of Roads and Buildings and Grounds Bob Matthews, Fire Chief Joe Ponzi, Director of Zoning and Development Joe Schaefer, and Township Administrator Paul Wise. At this time, I'd like to ask Beth Lear to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Beth. At this time, I'll turn it over to the fiscal officer for the fiscal officer's report.
I only have one thing tonight. I've seen ask your approval of the meeting minutes of special trustee meeting of April 21st, 2022.
All right. I'll move to approve the April 21st, 2022 special trustee meeting minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Mon?
Yes. Thank you.
That's
motion carries.
I have.
All right, I'm going to skip to, we have quite a crowd here, so I'm going to turn it over to, who am I turning over to? Fire Chief Joe Ponzi.
Thank you, and good evening, Board. The Genoa Township Fire Department responds to over 1,000 calls for medical assistance each year. Very few of those calls turn out to be a true success story. And that is the reason we're here before you tonight, to tell you one of those success stories and for you to meet the person that's involved in this story. So first, I'd like to ask all the involved crew members, firefighter, paramedics, and police officers to come up and stand here along the wall so we can talk about you all.
You usually do it behind your back. So.
On the evening of February 28th at 8:30 p.m., the Genoa Township Fire Department, the engine, the medic unit, and the battalion chief were dispatched to an unresponsive male. While en route, two Genoa Township police officers arrived on the scene in 4 minutes and 30 seconds after they heard the simultaneous dispatch that the fire department was provided. As the Genoa Township Fire Department personnel were arriving on the scene 1 minute later, they heard the police officers advising over the radio that the patient did not have a pulse and they were beginning CPR. Genoa Township firefighter paramedics immediately began advanced life support treatments, including defibrillation and securing the patient's airway, all while ensuring the patient was receiving high quality mechanical CPR and advanced life support. The patient was transported to St. Anne's Hospital, where his care was transferred to a team of highly skilled professionals. His care continued on at St. Anne's and was eventually discharged approximately 9 days later. According to the American Heart Association, only 10% of people that suffer a cardiac arrest out of a hospital setting survive that cardiac arrest. Furthermore, a cardiac arrest victim getting discharged from the hospital without any neurological deficits is extremely rare. The actions of the Genoa Township the seven Genoa Township employees, we only have six here tonight, one's at home with a brand new baby, played a substantial role in the successful outcome of this incident. It is a scenario both departments train for on a regular basis, and it is rewarding to see it pay off here this evening. And if you would so indulge me, I'd like to introduce to you Larry and Victoria Udele. Yes? Am I close?
Close.
Please come forward. And they would like to say a few words.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hi, everyone. The board. It's a pleasure to be here today. This is my wife, Virginia Udele, and I'm Larry Udele. And I would say a thank you to our friends that rescued me on February 28th. I'm not a public speaker, so I'm going to make this short. On that night, February 28th, as Chief said, I fell and really didn't realize where I was until I got to the hospital. And apparently a lot of people worked so hard to save me, starting with my lovely wife and our EMT group, the police force, and then, of course, the hospital. So I'm very grateful because you're the first responder and you saved my life. I will forever owe you a debt of gratitude. And if it wasn't for you and God and my wife, I wouldn't be here today. So it's if there's any way we can repay you for what you did and saved my life, please let us know. I'm not a carpenter, but I can help, you know, with household work. So thank you. And I'm here because of all of you, and we're very, very, very grateful. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Virginia Udele, and you've heard that I'm Larry's wife. And as much as I fear public speaking, I simply cannot let tonight go by without saying a profound thank you to each one of and everyone involved in saving Larry's life. I'm also delivering a message from a three-year-old and a 17-month-old grandson that says thank you for saving his grandpa. And one thing I'd like to say is to, if they're not present, if they are, your wives, your girlfriends, your fiancés, all your moms, your dads, everyone that's in your life, they were important in helping shape you to be the people that you were that night. I remember, as terrified as I was, and the room had filled up with all these kind people to assist, I remember the quiet precision. And that's what I've said to everyone who's asked me about this. I remember the quiet precision that everyone worked. And it seems to me if I turn my head for a second and I look back, and there was an IV going up Larry's leg. And I was like, you know, when did that happen? And everything was so precision. It was evident. Your skill, your training, your compassion were all evident that night. And the other thing, oddly enough, I remember is when I stepped outside and quickly Larry was gone, you know, away, and there was a police officer who said, I'm going back inside. I have to make sure there are no Sharpies. And I was like, oh my goodness, they take the time to ensure, you know, that there's safety for me, you know, under whatever circumstances I would have returned home. And again, from my heart, it is your dedication. I believe you were chosen for this work. You executed it in such a way that is unparalleled. We have a neurologist in the family who's on staff at Johns Hopkins, and who has said, you know, he can't figure it out. You know, this does not happen. And it does not happen. I've looked, I've researched since I've been home, and it is extraordinary. And it was the not wasted seconds and the not wasted moments and the time And I've been told time and time again, it was the quality of the compressions and that machine that you brought into the home, that it was the quality of that deep compression that was absolutely required in order for Larry to survive. So I'm hoping that you leave here tonight knowing that we have a tremendous family, a very big family, and they have all asked, and the family around the world is a huge family, and they've asked that I let you know that we are and will be eternally grateful for your service, for your choice of profession, for your parents and everyone who's influenced your lives. Larry and I will be celebrating, by God's grace, next Saturday is our 39th wedding anniversary. And it will be a celebration. We are completely aware that it could have been so different. And the last thing I will say this evening, as Larry was on life support in the ICU, and when he came off of the breathing tube, he began to talk. I mean, he can write. He was writing before he was talking. And over and over again throughout St. Anne's, we kept hearing, he's a miracle, that this does not happen. When he moved to the cardiac floor and Larry and I were going for a walk, one of the nurses, and I just smiled, as you might when you encounter someone, and she said, wasn't he in the ICU? I went, yeah. She went, oh, that's a miracle. So we've heard that over and over again, and again, it's extraordinary. It was each of you, the minutes, the seconds, everything that came together to make this happen, to give us more opportunity for Larry to yell about all the cushions falling off the chairs and the patio all that, and the everydayness of life. And we are eternally and will be eternally grateful for your skill, your dedication, your choice of profession, and thank you.
Thank you.
We've also asked Larry to present at least the firefighters their award pin for winning, for being awarded, sorry for the word winning, being awarded the life saving award, which is also the certificate they're getting this evening. To your right is firefighter Andy DiGiantoni, Chris Fenton, Lieutenant Chad Cochran, and firefighter paramedic Jesse Crook, and then Officer Kyle Simkoviak and Officer Dalton Delancey.
Everybody good? Everybody have all the pictures they need? Yeah. All right, that's going to be a tough act to follow. But congratulations to all, and what a great story. And Virginia, for not being a public speaker, job well done. She seemed right at home. All right, at this time, we'll open it up to public comment. Hold on. The mic needs to be on.
Is it good?
Yeah. All right.
We don't need it.
Sorry. Do it again.
So you can record me. Okay. I'm Beth Lear. I live at 7490 Big Walnut Road here in Galena, and I just wanted to introduce myself to my friends and neighbors here in Genoa Township. I am one of your candidates for state representative. And if anyone is going to be pulling a Republican ballot sometime later this year, probably August 2nd, I would deeply appreciate your support. And my husband is here with me. If you have any questions or would like any information after the meeting, we'd be happy to meet with you. And I also wanted to just take the opportunity to say how proud we are to be represented by you guys. And thank you very much for the hard work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Public comment? All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to trustee comments. Anything?
I only have one, and it's kind of a follow-up to our award presentation. I think that it's important to note that without the support of our residents, who overwhelmingly approved the levies that we asked for both fire and police, the staffing, the training, the equipment would not be possible. So this was a great, great story, a wonderful end to what could have been a terrible, terrible incident. But we want to thank our residents, too, for their continuing support.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple. First, I want to announce that we have a Narcan training at the police station on May 24th at 6:30 p.m. You can sign up on our website. And also, my May residence hour will be May 14th, Saturday, May 14th, so a week from this Saturday from 9 to 10. My hope is to have it outside here at the Township Hall, but if it's raining or cold, we'll continue to meet inside at the Township Hall. Anything else? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I'd like to just to say a few things. I want you to hear this from me so that you have the complete story. Any of you that have been to any of the meetings, especially all of my team members here at the township, it's no secret that Carl has been attempting to make some attacks. He unsuccessfully filed an ethics claim against me and my campaign, where I inadvertently accepted a in-kind contribution from a friend in a corporation. I reported exactly what happened. I tried to hide nothing. My hearing was this morning with the Ethics Commission, and after hearing our case, the Ethics Commission voted unanimously to exonerate and dismiss the charges. So I just wanted you to hear that from me, so you got the story straight from me. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anything else before we move on? All right. I'll turn it over to our Township Administrator, Paul Wise.
Thank you very much, Board. At the last meeting that we had, we broached the subject of the ARPA funding. And at that meeting, Trustee Antonez had requested that we regroup and have each department rate their own request within those funds. So we come back to you with that list. It's in your packet back behind the minutes that were approved this evening. As you can see, the rated by general fund, parks, roads, police department, fire department, and the total requested items by project or items is $4,711,838.25. So we'll probably look for the guidance of the trustees.
Thanks.
We have 2.9.
So. I know. All right. I don't even know how to start with this. I wish we could buy it all, but we can't. Does anybody want us open discussion, or I can take the lead? It's up to you guys.
Paul, one question as we look at this. At the very top where you have the general fund and you've removed the purchase of the vehicle, it looks like that is still in the total figure there.
It is.
So, I mean, it's only $30,000.
Yes.
But
so, yeah,
would that also come out of the total at the bottom?
That would free up $30,000 on the other end or et cetera.
Just to be clear on what we're looking at.
The reason why I'm requesting that be removed is because we're now in May, and the state purchasing year for it's going to close. And we may not, I know the lead time is going to be great to get a vehicle, but if we don't get our foot in the door with getting a purchase order, then we're going to miss out for this year on that item. So we had a budgeted item from the capital expense already planned, so that's why I removed it from this.
Sure. But I wanted to be sure that I was looking at that correctly, which then brings that total project cost down to $4,681,838.25. I have a calculator. Yeah.
All right.
I got a question for any in the leadership. These rankings, are they one, like parts 1 through 5 is one, like your top priorities? Or are we just randomly listing?
They're on order.
Of importance to you?
Yes.
Anybody have, I mean, I know, I'm not sure I want to assign all of this tonight. I mean, I'm open to it, but I do think we need to start picking at this list and saying, okay, yes, this is for sure. I do have a few things that I think are important. One is the Plum Road repair, just from speaking with Bob. Two is the partial tear down of the old police station. I mean, those are things that I am strongly in favor of.
I would agree with both of those. I had earmarked on mine the restrooms for both Hillmar and Community Gardens. We've put permanent restrooms in a couple places. They've been well received. And when it was posted to our Facebook page about having restrooms open year-round, there were a number of very positive and thankful comments. The other item is the Hillmar Park playground. There's also been a great deal of conversation about that particular item. I can go either way on that, but I would ask that the restrooms be considered. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I had clearly marked on here was the overtime reimbursement for fire. I mean, that was a direct cost as a result of all of this, and I think that it was truly unexpected.
Okay. Mark, do you have any comments?
Interestingly enough, if you total up all of the number one priority list, it comes to just over $2.9 million. I don't know if that was planned or what.
I didn't break it down that way. Do you have any comments with items that either me or Connie have?
I don't. I trust each of the leadership to be able to define and designate their priorities. The challenge is, you know, some of these are pretty extensive.
Yes. And something I've thought about is like the ladder truck. Not to pick on you, but I think it's the most expensive thing on the list. I am willing to give money towards it. Doesn't mean we have to pay for the whole thing, right? Is that correct, Paul?
That's right. You could fund whatever you'd like.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be 100% of it.
Right. The other thing that I'm looking at as making while deciding is things that are a necessity versus a nice to have. And I also am leaning towards giving more money to parks only because they've been neglected for so long. And I feel like money towards the parks, not that giving money to police and fire doesn't help residents, but it's a different way, that it's a direct donation to the public. For instance, the restrooms, mostly residents are going to be using that versus other things. Again, I know you use those for the public, but and maybe my thinking is incorrect, but that's how I'm looking at it. It'll be a direct donation to uses that the public, it's really going to benefit the public. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it may be worth noting, this has been talked about for several meetings. Not everybody listens to every meeting.
Yes.
This $2.9 million is federal funds that were given to us for the American Rescue Plan to be spent in certain ways within the law. This isn't money being spent out of the general fund, taxpayer dollars, and so forth. I just think it's worth reminding folks that this is money that was presented to us for relief.
Yes. And thank you. And I'll also point out that we can't keep it.
No.
We have to spend it.
Yes. There is a callback provision if it's not used.
Yes.
Or used properly, that will be taken back. So that's why they're being so laborious about these decisions and so forth. Everything on here is within the law to be used for. We know that now. Now it's just a matter of application. So, sorry.
And there is a timeline also.
Well, we have quite a while.
Well, yeah, but. We can't debate forever.
It goes fast, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To your point, Trustee Vaughn, the parks have a brand new levy. It's a 3-year levy. They haven't had anything in the past because it has come out of the general fund. Fortunately, both police and fire have had a long history of levies, and they've had the ability to bank some resources to keep a pocket for, if a levy didn't pass, a pocket of money. But that doesn't mean that they don't deserve something.
I totally agree.
So, and that's one of the reasons that I said the overtime reimbursement. I mean, I think that's a very appropriate use for this.
Yep.
Under general fund, my number one item, it is totally related to parks. Mm-hmm. It would be a match for a grant that would allow us to consider a purchase of a property contiguous to an existing park. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of park related mm-hmm. also.
And without getting into the weeds on that one, I think there are some side benefits to something like that. Yeah. I do have a question for you, Administrator Wise. The Township Hall sewer line.
That was originally requested when the items of the ARPA money were very restricted. We were out scraping around looking for possible fits, and we have a functioning system here that's working. We've been on septic tank for years on this property, but it's not a necessity.
Okay.
It's not something that, you know, that was only when we were trying to find things for the money. So that's why I ranked it third.
Well, and in my mind, I'd cross that off and look at that $200,000 someplace else. As you said, we do have a functioning septic system. There's not an immediate need.
Yes.
And hopefully there won't be.
So I'll add to that. We discussed that at the Parks Committee meeting only because there was talk of adding an outside restroom here, and the feeling of the Parks Committee was they didn't think that was a priority either, because we thought, you know, bring sewer, add a restroom, and they were not in favor of it either.
Could we come to consensus to cross that off?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Just saved another $200,000.
You got $1.5 million to go.
Well, like I said, I didn't say we're going to spend it all tonight.
But if we could earmark, you know, 2, 3, 4 items, that would be helpful.
I agree. I think pick away at it slowly. I do think that, you know, these are estimate costs, so we don't know. They could be less, they could be more, so I don't really want to dedicate the whole shebang and then come back and we're short on some of these projects because, you know, with inflation and So, but I'm still open to...
This is like picking your favorite child.
I know. I know.
I did have a couple questions for the police. And it's mostly because I don't know what all this stuff is. I know what a Ford 150 truck is. That one I got. But when we talk about, let's look down at the new K-9 cruiser. It was my understanding that the cruiser that we had for the K-9 was still okay.
Yes.
And, okay.
This is on the plan that we plan to hopefully get another therapy dog for the high school.
Okay.
And the process is, in discussions with the school's administration, they want to see how Rocky does in the middle school and progresses, and after that, they'll make a decision whether we can add a therapy dog to the high school. We think there'd be a tremendous benefit there. Mm-hmm. So that being the case, we would need a K-9 cruiser. Again, if we ordered it today, it would take probably close to a year right. to even get it. So in that case, it would be, you know, we anticipate the middle school therapy dog going in at the beginning of the next school year. And hopefully at the end of the year, we can evaluate that and then move forward potentially with the therapy dog for the high school.
Okay. The AEDs, are you looking at those for in the cruisers?
Yes.
We do not have them currently?
We have some in the cruisers, but we have, I think we currently have five. So okay. they have to get shuffled around each shift to the different cruisers because officers work different cruisers. So with that adds extra wear and tear. So with this, we would be able to put them in all the cruisers, and they wouldn't be moved out of the cruisers.
And that was what I thought we were looking at. And so I think that that's a very good expenditure
yes.
in my mind, because that's for the safety of our residents. See if there was anything else. I talked to Deputy Chief Chibali before the meeting. We talked a little bit about the use of the truck and the Polaris Ranger. Of course, as I told him, coming from Minnesota, Polaris Ranger is a snowmobile, and you're not getting one of those.
No, no, no.
So, but I do understand the usage of those. I'm not quite ready to jump into that for you this evening. So,
I'm kind of on the same page. I'm looking at this as I don't want to add a vehicle to your fleet using money that isn't taxpayer funded, and then when that vehicle needs to be replaced, you'll replace it with taxpayer money. That's kind of my hiccup with that. With those, that you're now adding to your fleet, and yeah, this you may not have to pay for this one, but when this one you want to rotate it out and it needs to be replaced, then that becomes a budget issue. And I know that's your budget you take care of, but honestly, I think police is probably asking for the least. So besides the Ford F-150, the K-9 Cruiser, and the Polaris, I'm okay with all your other asks. I don't know how anybody else feels.
I think to the issue, as I understand your concern with the vehicles that being replaced somewhere down the road, I mean, we can stipulate that they potentially would not be replaced down the road if that came to be, or hopefully using some of the money from gov deals that we get from selling off cruisers and selling off these items down the road, that could be used to okay. as replacement funds for that.
Very good. Thank you. That's helpful.
What's the Polaris Ranger's purpose?
Again, you know, this is there's heavily wooded areas in the township that we could patrol and also respond to. Another thing we've talked about is the mountain bike course up off of Jaycox Lewis Center, that if somebody gets injured back there, it would be very difficult for the medics to get back there, and something they could use as well.
Yeah.
And we could also use it on the bike path to easier do some patrols on the bike path.
That might give us some flexibility that we don't currently have.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We've had to take, there's been times we have to drive our cruisers out into fields or whatever, especially if we're searching for somebody. So that's extra wear and tear on those cruisers. They're not built for that.
Sure. Medical bags, do you not have those in the cruisers, or is this
we do this with just update and replace some items that may be getting towards their end of their life expectancy.
Okay.
And augment some of the different things in there. There's a lot of new medical items that have come out in the last few years that, you know, we can add on there, and working with fire to make sure that we have a really good med kit available.
Okay. You guys did everything you were just talking about and funded 33 1/3% of the fire truck, you'd be at $2.9 million basically. Everything you just talked about doing.
Oh, one thing I didn't bring up. I've been getting some complaints that there's no fence around the pickleball court. And so I brought it up to the Parks Committee last night. There was some discussion, but the general feeling is we put in the courts. It was, I guess, lower on the priority list, but because the pickleballer people were more vocal, it was put in earlier than anticipated. We didn't put in the fence around because we got feedback that they didn't think it was necessary, and now we're getting complaints that they think it is necessary. And last year, Bob had priced it out about last February, and it was around $60,000. The price had gone up, but I asked Bob to get a current bid, and he got one today. You want to share that, Bob?
Yeah. For 6 foot was $22,000, and for an 8 foot was $28,000.
So significantly cheaper than last year. There was one member who said he did go over and play pickleball in the ones, the courts to the east, correct, Bob?
Yes.
There's a hill, mm-hmm. So if you hit your ball off the court, you go chase it. So he said he moved to the ones on the west, but if somebody's playing on the ones on the west, you're stuck.
That's the fastest growing sport in America.
Word was, yeah, last night is coming in by Topgolf, a pickleball restaurant.
It's a pickleball club / restaurant with indoor cover, outdoor.
Yeah. So it's, anyway, I do want to put that out there just so you're aware that that conversation has taken place. And
having done time as a liaison to parks, we did due diligence in asking residents, both the pickleball groups and others, what they thought. We had the fence budgeted in there, and we were told they didn't need the fence. At this point, I'm not opposed to a fence, but not right now. Okay. I think we've got other things that we need to do, because we did try to ask ahead of time.
Yep, I agree.
That's my opinion.
That's fine. Do you have an opinion on that, Mark?
I do. So I play pickleball, and I would just add this, that it'd be very difficult to play without a perimeter fence. And if you find yourself chasing the ball more often than you care, then you're probably not going to come there and play. So I would be afraid that if it's becoming as popular as Pat says, that they'll find some alternative place, and then we just wasted the investment in building a half of a court.
Can those come out of the parks funds?
Yeah. I'm all for the fence, how we
finance it. No, that would be a question for Bob. If we give you money for some of these other things, could you put this in?
Yes, out of the parks funds, we could.
Okay. All right.
So I highlighted the things that I was looking at. And from my perspective, I would be in favor of the Green Space Conservation Preservation Fund match. The restrooms at Hillmar Community and Community Gardens, the Hillmar Park Playground, Plum Road Repair, the overtime reimbursement for fire, and then also when we get to the police, the AEDs, and I think the Polaris Ranger has some distinct benefits to us. I don't think you need both a truck and a ranger, and my thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that's just where I'm kind of falling from my perspective.
And I'm okay with all those.
So what's that police number come to?
I didn't add it up. Mr. Numbers over there.
Somebody add that up for us.
Why we gave him the fiscal hat.
So we're going to take 312, 530 and subtract everything except, I mean, subtract the Ranger, not the Ranger, the F-150 or the Cruiser.
And what was the second thing you said?
The Polaris Ranger and the AEDs. So that's 47.5.
Take those out?
That we would spend.
Oh, that we would spend.
That's what we would purchase.
Okay, so I think
what you're saying is everything on here would be okay for you except the Ford 150?
Well, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I think Trustee Vaughn, if I
that's
if
what I
heard
said.
Right, yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
At this point, I'd like to hold off on some
and
of these things.
Totally
I'm not
fine.
Saying you can't have them at some point.
Yeah.
But to get a start on this list, approving the Polaris Ranger and the AEDs to bring us up to where we need to be.
Okay. How about the shooting simulator?
Tell me about that.
Again, it's basically a setup we can use in the training room. It's a shoot, don't shoot, scenario-based training system. There's several out there, and 40,000 is an estimate, but it's something we don't have. It's a decision-based course, mm-hmm. Which I think is critical. I mean, we can go out and shoot paper targets all day long, but that doesn't get to the reality of you're faced with different scenarios and when you should or shouldn't shoot. It also, there's a lot of them that are sophisticated. I've talked about reaction time. It's a training tool to help the officers, you know, if they make a mistake in that, to learn from that. It's also something we can bring other agencies in to use. It's a valuable tool.
I'd be okay with that. That's fine. And Chief Ponce, I'm not opposed to your truck, but not tonight, okay? In my opinion, so.
But you're okay with his overtime?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was totally unexpected for us. And
So what I have, just if that's okay if I chime in here, from the general fund, it will be, it's not right, hold on. Give me another minute.
I have 2.1.
This quarter's messing me up. Yeah. Why'd they put 25 cents on something?
That's what I was wondering. All these are rounded. And the one has 25 cents.
That was for a balanced budget.
On one item. It's got to be Donna.
That was for a balanced budget.
Oh, I see. Got it.
Yeah, the 25 cents.
Yeah, I mean. So you're looking at $1,308,25 general fund. Because we're going to
I just totaled all of it up
well,
so far, what we've
too.
Talked about.
So plus 450, plus 192, plus 87.5, plus 377. 2.106,
that's what I have, yes, yeah. That's what I have.
So that, if you did that.
$2,106,808.25.
And we know, as we all sit here and speak, that these are estimates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would leave you with some, you know, nearly $850,000 of, okay, we still have this money here. We'll make some more decisions later
And we might find that it'll edge into that $800,000. We might find some of the costs come in less,
right.
And we've got a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'd like to be, is
that's
to commit
fine.
To some of these things and then find out where we're at in another month or two or however long.
That's fine. So for clarification purposes, I'd like to list off and we can all confirm. In the general,
you do,
go ahead.
I think it's important that we address the old police station.
That's on there.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Right?
Number two item.
Yeah,
on,
yeah. It's on
the
there.
But just not on tonight's
so
list.
General
no,
fund,
I thought it was
general
on tonight's
fund
list.
In general fund, there's two items.
Yeah.
The Green Space Conservation Fund match and the partial tear down of the police department.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I thought. Yep.
In the parks,
I missed that.
You have number two, three, and four.
Yeah.
In roads, he gets it all. Good job, Bob.
Yeah, way to go.
That's in desperate need.
We're going to do $87,500 of that list.
Yep.
Which is the
number AEDs. Two. Two, five, and six off your list.
Yes, simulator, yeah. Simulator Ranger, and AED.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to belabor the point, but the tasers are critical because the tasers we have are old and there's no, they don't make the replacement parts anymore for them. And that's how they make their money. They come out with a new generation of tasers. I think going to the Citizen Police Academy, you see the value of the tasers.
Yeah, they work.
Nobody's pointing any fingers.
Someone felt the value.
Yeah, that's $15,000.
So the two biggest items on there that I would say that we have to consider are the tasers and the BAC machine.
Outside of what they've already said they would do.
I'm sorry?
Outside of what they already said they would do. Or that they'd already approved.
Right. Over. Outside of the ones you approved. So that's the tasers.
Another 20, it'd be $27,000.
Mm-hmm.
What is the BAC machine?
For, oh, yeah, for DUI.
Oh, okay, the alcohol. Okay.
Okay. You remember, Connie. You remember. Consensus? Consensus? Is there consensus on that?
I was okay with that to begin with, but I don't know what everybody else thinks.
It's another $27,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now you still got $835,000.
Okay.
On hold.
You're okay with both of those? Yeah, I was okay. So that, Mark, are you okay with
those?
So
that makes
the pickleball fence.
We got that through the parks.
So he was going to take that out of the parks. Right.
$104,500, and that's those four items. Ranger, AED, tasers, and BAM.
And the shooting simulator.
I'm sorry, say
that. Yeah, the simulator.
Simulator, Ranger,
AEDs, taser, that BAC machine.
Mm-hmm. DC and Lieutenant and I will knock down the police station for $100,000.
Yeah. It'll take a while, but we'll do it. lastly, Joe at $377,000 of overtime, talk about the truck later. Yep. That brings the total to $2,133,808.25.
You want to go back and give us the F-150 on the whole building now?
Electric and gas with it, right?
So again, that leaves you 800 plus to consider. Okay. Maybe partial ladder, overruns on costs.
Good with that for now. Do we need a motion, or we're just kind of dedicating?
Why don't you make a motion to formalize that decision?
You want to move on?
List it?
I would. That way, if we're being audited, we have a record
Would you like to read the list while you move on and do something else?
Do what?
Write the list out for you while you
No, I have
the list. Okay. It's right here.
Okay, good.
I'm sure somebody's going to have to amend this, so I'll take a stab at it, though. I'll make a motion to purchase the following using the ARPA fund. $700,000 for Green Space Conservation Preservation Fund match. $308.25 for the partial teardown of the old police station, $200,000 for the restrooms at Hillmar Park, $200,000 for the restrooms at the community gardens, $192,000 for the Plum Road repair, $377,000 for the overtime reimbursement to the fire department, a shooting simulator, a Polaris Ranger, and I guess I should put dollars amount, $40,000 for the shooting simulator, $27,500 for a Polaris Ranger, $20,000 for new AEDs, $15,000 for tasers, and $12,000 for a BAC machine for the police department. Do I have a second? Is that motion good? Go ahead.
Didn't you have Hillmar Park Playground?
I thought Hillmar Park Playground
yep.
was there.
All right. In addition to that, $50,000 for the Hillmar Park Playground.
I will second that.
Thank you. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. All right. I hope everybody's happy. We got a little bit.
There's a lot of lead time on some of these items, so we appreciate your decisions, and we'll get moving with purchase orders, et cetera.
It would be helpful, too, if as you get those purchase orders in or responses back, if there's a change in the dollar amounts, kind of keep us updated.
Yes, that would be great.
So that we know where we stand on remaining funds.
Of course.
I haven't put it on a spreadsheet with what we have now, what the new ones are. Yeah. We'll do it that way.
The fiscal office. Thanks.
Next up would be, we talked about before how I took the vehicle off of the ARPA money. And so in order to get into the state purchasing before they close it up, I'd like to request the board approve a purchase of a 2022 Ford Explorer in the amount of $29,548 to be purchased off of Montrose Ford under the state purchasing program.
All right, I'll move to approve a purchase order of a Montrose Ford in the amount of $29,548 for the purchase of a 2022 Ford Explorer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion. I have a few questions. I know we've discussed this before. Tell me again the two trucks that you have here and the years and the conditions.
So we currently have a 2015 Ford F-150. It's in very good condition. It purchased off state bid. It was right around the amount, $22,000. That was purchased new. We also have a 2010 Chevy Colorado. The Chevy's starting to rust out underneath. You can see some rust on the front hood, and it's starting to need or getting ready to need additional work, like on brakes and other things. So that's the vehicle that I would like to request that we replace with the new one. It's 12 years old. We can actually, that vehicle was purchased for about $20,000 back in 2010. We could probably recuperate 50% of the cost of that off of the gov deals. So this would be a perfect opportunity now to take advantage of that type of a sale whenever the new one comes in. I wouldn't release it until the new one arrives, just so we have that transportation. And just a side note, we did have discussion many years ago, probably before you were trustee, about replacing vehicles before they lose total value because they become useless and more of a liability. So I'm just following past recommendations from residents and the past boards. So
I get it.
Well, and this is an interesting time in the used car market anyway, because they're selling for almost as much as you paid for them in the first place. Not quite, but you know, you're getting a good return.
What do we use this for?
This truck is used a very, like 90% of the time it's used in a zoning office for inspections. It's a four-wheel drive. They throw their zoning change signs in them, BZA signs. We take that truck downtown if we have to get into a lower profile garage, we use that vehicle. So it's used pretty good. Mostly zoning employees use it.
Because the other one is too high to fit in a garage?
Yes.
Got it. But you'll be...
Some of the older garages down in Columbus I'm referring to. The new ones are all right.
You want to jump in here?
Paul basically covered a bit since he brought up my department. I thought maybe I should come up to the microphone just in case there was any questions. But he pretty much hit the nail on the head. He's already spoken well to the condition of it. It's obviously starting to rust out. Driving around when we go to conferences and stuff is a pain. I've never been a pickup truck driver myself. I'm not used to driving. I know it's not a large truck compared to a lot of other trucks, but it is hard to maneuver sometimes most of the time when I go to conferences, I'm going downtown to Columbus. It'd just be easier if we had a slightly smaller vehicle like the Explorer to just get around. Or sometimes when we go up to Delaware, that parking lot by the courthouse is really tight too, behind the commissioner's office, or old office, I should say. So, between the condition and, frankly, we just don't need something as big as a pickup truck, honestly, either. I mean, the back hatch on an Explorer would be more than large enough to handle the signs that we pick up.
So is the plan to, because if you use this to pick up signs and throw them in the back, would you use the current F-150 for that, or are you going to use the new Explorer for that?
We just use the new Explorer because most of the signs we're picking up are, you know, like the little temporary blade signs that look like a lot of the political, you know, we don't take political signs, but you know, that's essentially the type of size we're usually picking up. And then I'm pretty sure they can hold the real estate sign relatively easy.
And then how often are you using both of these vehicles at once? Should we just get rid of this 2010 and keep the 2015? And just have one vehicle?
If Paul's going somewhere and zoning needs to do work in the field, we need both of them.
Is that often?
Yeah, Paul, I don't know how often, but I mean, also our vehicle tends to be the loaner for when someone else's vehicle goes bust.
Our vehicles get transferred out of this building a lot. I know they've been backup for other for the maintenance department.
Yeah, maintenance. I know has had to use it several times.
The F-150 is a backup snowplow, also.
Okay. Correct. So it definitely behooves us. Okay. I think to have two.
Any other questions? Anyone?
Yeah. So I'll put my businessman hat on. What's the mileage on the 2010?
It's nearing 50,000.
Yeah, it's not very high, so we ought to get a pretty good buck price for it, I would think.
And are we having maintenance issues with it?
We should probably be looking for maintenance on it if we let it go any longer. It's rusting out underneath, so trustee, if you'd like to go for a ride in, you're welcome. it's getting a little rough.
Loud and a little rough, definitely.
As we pulled out of the parking lot, I went with Paul one day, and it kind of chugged. It went chugga, 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 and I kept saying, would you like to take my vehicle? You want to drive? Want me to drive? We made it, but it's 12 years old.
It's not a fancy Lexus or anything, but it runs.
Anything else from anyone?
No.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Antoinette.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Thank you.
Paul, do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right. At that, I will turn it over to Bob for maintenance.
I have one purchase order. It's to replace the purchase order you signed in January. We found the company in Columbus area instead of where we bought the Ventrac. This was a budgeted item for attachments for the Ventrac.
Okay. I'll move to approve a purchase order to Century Equipment in the amount of $20,000 for the purchase of attachments for the Ventrac. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Can you tell me what kind of attachments you're going to buy?
Corey's been checking. He could tell you what all we're going to get with it.
Microphone.
Right now, we are looking at a rototiller that will make it easier to till the community gardens. We are also looking at, it's a very large blower that we'll be able to use to blow stuff off of the bike path, and we'll also be able to use it during road construction. And the third attachment is a snow blower, I believe. It's been a little bit since I've seen the list.
Okay.
But yeah, there's three new attachments that we're looking at right now.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. All right.
That's all we got.
Thank you. Next, I'll turn it over to, is it Linda? You doing the, or Paul?
Well, I wasn't part of whatever meeting you had. So, no, I'm serious. So I don't know. I don't think I should speak to it.
Well, this was the last trustee meeting whenever there was a request to review the current policy of the nepotism. Our attorney prepared a draft policy for our handbook. Since I passed this around as soon as I got it to the trustees and to the department heads, one of the department heads commented that one of the new family member relationships in the new policy was never addressed in the old policy, in which case one of the in-law relationships, the brother-in-law, is now, we have employees who are brother-in-laws employed here. So the goal was not to create a problem by trying to help ourselves for the future. So we obviously don't want to get rid of any of those employees who are related by being brother-in-laws, but you know, the board, if it wants to consider a couple ways to go with it, possibly create the policy grandfathering those currently employed with the township right now at this point in time as an option, or else amend the policy to remove the in-law relationship from this list. So it's the board's wishes. We'll follow your direction.
We may have comments.
The in-laws is not an option.
I'm glad I don't have any in-laws in town. None of them are going to be listening to this.
I think that we need to do this. I think it's a good thing to change the current policy that we have, where we do not allow any relations to work together. But I think in my thoughts, I'd rather put a grandfather clause in here than to change the policy. We know going forward what it is. People will be aware of it, but I don't want to impact anyone who's currently here who may be a part of this. So I think grandfathering current employees would be the direction I would encourage.
I could have gone either way, but I'm fine with grandfathering. I'm glad we are updating this because it appears that our old policy was very out of date, in my opinion.
Can I throw one wrench in at that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Someone separates, great employee, and they decide a year later they want to come back, and there's an opening. They have left, so because of that grandfather clause, they would not be able to come back, right? Even though prior they were. Okay.
That's fair.
Just don't know.
They would have to know that, I guess, before they left.
Before they would resign. Okay.
I do like all of the new, the 1, 2, 3, that you can't have the supervisory or a disciplinary authority. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. I like the verbiage.
Yeah.
Anything else?
So then, yeah. I would amend the resolution to read, for those, you know, to allow for the grandfathering to be brought in effective this date, and then have the policy go forward to employees after this point who aren't related.
So it's basically for new employees and to grandfather current.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try to, we'll see how this goes. I'll make a motion to amend the nepotism policy to allow for any current employees affected by the new policy to be grandfathered in, and this policy will take effect for all new employees effective May 5th, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any amendments to that? Are we good with the motion? Okay. All right. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. All right. Where do we currently have zoning on the agenda? Just put it at the end, or do you usually go after fire?
We could do a fire right now.
Okay.
And then we have zoning.
Okay. Very good. Do you have anything for fire?
I don't think it requires any action on the board, but it's merely informative. Want to show you a short video, which hopefully will kind of tie you into or give you an idea of what we're talking about and then why I'm showing this to you this evening.
Joe, about the first 2 minutes.
My name is Robert McNamara. I'm a career firefighter and paramedic for the last 23 years. I first developed the door boss. The door boss is a simple tool placed by a first arriving firefighter that performs door control, known as flow path control, in the fire service. It's easily placed by a first arriving firefighter at the entry point that we use to enter the structure. This place uses the very same body mechanics that I use to reach the door. Because of the amazing science provided by UL and NIST over the last number of years, I have found that the best distance for door gap to restrict flow path is 18 inches. And that's exactly what the door boss provides. Thank you. thanks in part to funding provided by FRST, I've been able to finish a recent scope of work to make the door boss a smart tool that can be used for personal accountability in real time. With the placement of two RFID antennas, the smart tool can communicate with my gear because I can weave antenna into my turnout or the strap on my SCBA. As a firefighter moves closer to the door, we have picked up a range as close as 1 foot. So as you approach closer to the structure, you get further away from the other antenna by 5 feet, we can account for real time a firefighter being inside of the structure. The opposite occurs as a firefighter egresses. 5 feet away, approaching the outside of the structure, and 5 feet away from the outside antenna will allow the incident commander to know that that person is safe and outside of the hazard zone in real time. At the beginning of every shift, the incident commander can assign his or her crew for the day. You can assign each member of your personnel to the respective fire apparatus.
Okay, that's good. I don't want to get too far into the weeds on this for you because there's no form. I don't think you need to take any formal action, but wanted to update you. So the gentleman you saw in the video is Mike Marr. He's one of our firefighter paramedics. And probably starting in about 2017, Mike began on a mission to solve a question or a problem, and Jeff can relate to this, a problem that we've had for years in the fire service of being able to track people and where they're at, especially during house fires, whether it be a house, commercial building, et cetera. So Mike has been working on this project diligently since 2017, and what he's come up with through grants through the state of Ohio is that device that you saw on the door. There's two parts of it. The big one for us as far as the incident command, those of us that stand outside and try to keep track of where everyone's at, where are they at, are you in the building, are you out of the building, et cetera. This device has the potential where that may help us greatly, being able to track people. And so I just wanted to give you where we're at and an opportunity that Mike has that's going to involve us, if you all are in agreement with that. So as you saw, the device that mounts on the door, and then Mike has come up. Mike has been awarded $350,000 worth of grants from the state of Ohio through the Third Frontier Grant Fund program, which has boosted him along in this project. And as he continued to go along and the project showed merit, he decided that he was, there's a, probably some of you are aware of the government agency called NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. NIST works closely with UL and the fire service, trying to prevent firefighters' deaths. And so for years, we in the fire service have been trying to come up with some idea or some way that we were able to keep track of personnel on an emergency scene. And so NIST received a large amount of money from the federal government. I believe this is a $20 million study to solve this problem, and they put out worldwide for proposals, and there were hundreds received. They wanted to have 30, pare it down to 30 proposals, and they ended up with 27, and Mike is one of those 27 worldwide. So when he found out he was awarded, he came and spoke to me, and they NIST wanted Mike to partner with a large fire agency on the scale of FDNY, which is the New York City Fire Department, Boston, Chicago, or Cal Fire out in California. Mike lobbied NIST and said, what's the difference? They lose people. My department, my neighboring departments that are smaller have the same potential to lose people. Why can't I partner with my home agency? And it took them a little while, but they came back and they granted that. So Mike's going to have the opportunity to continue to work on this project in conjunction with us. So as you saw, you know, he had his gear on and his helmet. So, but he's going to work on that project here. So when he has to do video updates or et cetera, we need to test something, we're going to do it and we're going to help Mike. And Mike has also received some further assistance from the governor's office and the Department of Commerce, which is over the State Fire Marshal's authority. And they have basically told Mike that whatever he needs through the State Fire Marshal's office, that the resources are there. So I just wanted to basically inform you that we're going to be working with Mike. And the other part of this is that in a case where Mike has to miss a day of work, we are going to be federally reimbursed for Mike's absence. There's five phases to this project. Mike is just entering phase one. For each one of those phases, we can be reimbursed up to $2,000 per phase. We don't anticipate that cost of every phase. As we look at this first phase, Mike's going to have to miss one day of work. So I wanted to inform you all and let you know where we're at in this partnership with Mike and this venture with NIST, and that I support it, because if we are finally getting somewhere closer to reducing and lowering the amount of firefighters that we lose on a yearly basis in structure fires, then I think that we as a township and we as a department should do everything we can to help Mike in this venture of maybe solving this problem.
Very good.
So,
yeah. Thank you.
Any questions?
Sounds great. No.
Okay.
Sounds awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Joe, I'm going to turn it over to our zoning director, Joe Schaefer.
Good evening, trustees. Just one item on the agenda for you this evening. At your last meeting a couple weeks ago, the board came to the conclusion that you'd like to put out an RFQ for possibly some zoning legal services. So on your tables with the letter Z on the upper left-hand corner, I had a draft of the advertisement and then the scoring criteria on the second page. So before I just ran with this, I wanted to make sure the board had the opportunity to review it. I sent it out the other day. And just let me know if you had any corrections or concerns before I just went ahead and ran it. And then also, I just wanted to get clarification where the board wants to have it run. And my thoughts were the Gazette, the Dispatch, and if it's not going to cost anything, probably the American Planning Association of Ohio website. There was a question the other night about process in regards to what we're going to do once we get these, and Administrator Wise and I had a conversation about that, and he informed me essentially what we can do is once the deadline's passed, we open them up essentially. It's not as quite as formal as like a bid. We basically will just open them up and we'll start scoring them. We'll submit those scores to you, and then the board sort of does with that, you know, whatever the board desires. There's not a requirement to interview anyone. I mean, we can open them in this room in public, but I'm not even sure if that's really a requirement, because it's not a bid. But certainly, if I guess people want to just see who's the other names that put in for it, you know, more than welcome to have that information. It's all going to be public information anyway. So I just realized as I was reading through this, the only question, and maybe I got these, the draft templates from Paul. I guess my question is actually for Paul. As I was just standing here reading through this, we have in here a complete copy of the RFQ is available on the township's website. I guess I would just post as the RFQ the scoring criteria on the second page, because we don't have like a bid package document like we would normally do, like if we were building something. So
it would be smart to let each of the respondents know what criteria you're grading them on, so that their request for requirements, they would incorporate those items so that they could be scored.
So we'd essentially say the actual RFQ itself is really just this page. This is what we're using.
Along with the ad. You know, what you're looking for in the advertisement also. Okay. And make sure that we have a section of our website for bids and this type of thing.
Put it on the correct section. And then I'll probably cross-link, you know, cross-reference it on some of the more relevant zoning pages in case get to the wrong page and redirect them there.
Okay. Sounds good.
So I guess, were there any corrections or concerns about
the
plan we had I just set forth?
I think it's good.
I just got one quick one, Joe. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of them being familiar with Delaware County infrastructure?
Especially if we're talking density, infrastructure plays a large part in often determining densities and what the infrastructure can support regarding density. That historically, a lot of our density numbers were built off of sewer capacity restrictions. So that's my thought process there, is we'd want someone who's got some familiarity with those issues, or at least knows how to do the research into those issues.
Anybody else?
No.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. I don't believe this requires a motion or anything. I just wanted a general consensus before I...
Okay.
Because we'll advertise. Move forward.
Yeah, I'll try to get it sent out tomorrow and hopefully run early next week. Thank you.
Next up, announcements. The Zoning Commission meeting is on May 9th. The Communications Advisory Committee meets May 12th. Board of Zoning Appeals meets May 24th. Narcan training is at the Genoa Township Police Department on May 24th. Memorial Day offices will be closed on May 30th. And the Parks Advisory Committee meeting is on June 1st. And our next regular trustee meeting is on June 2nd.
Can I add another announcement?
Yes.
Next Wednesday, May 11th, Police Advisory, Citizen Police Advisory Committee.
Thank you. Any other business before the board? All right, so I'll move to adjourn to executive session at 7:45 p.m. to consider the purchase of property for public use and to consider the employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Baum?
Yes. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 7:45. All right. I'll move to return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting at 8:45 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. There is no more business to come before the board, so I'll move to adjourn this meeting at 8:46. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Meeting's adjourned at 8:46.